This is Will's Band of the Week for August 21st, 2022. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with David from the Western U.S. bunker. You going to call it that?
I'm here, enjoying the big skies you can see.
Even though you're in a bunker, the background there looks pretty good. Looks pretty nice.
I went for the picturesque mode today.
Yep. And since you're west of me...
Yeah, I just have a behind me.
It's almost dark here, but... You've still got daylight in the western U.S.
We got it.
All right, cool. So, thanks, David. You stepped up to the plate on short notice this week because I had a short week. I have a short week because I'm going to be out of town. And so, and hopefully gathering at least one and maybe two or maybe even three. I'd say the over-under is 1.8 live reports. Almost for sure we'll have one, and pretty confident there'll be a second one, but we'll see. So I have a narrow window to record this week.
Yes, I hope my lack of preparation doesn't show, though.
You shouldn't admit that, right? You can admit that later. I had in college, I had a German class, introduction to German, you know, just first year German. And we all really liked the professor a lot. And then we got to the end, and on the last day of class, he said, okay, I have something to admit. This is the first class I ever taught. But see, he wasn't going to admit his weakness from the start, because then, you know, that lowers expectations or whatever. Although maybe in our case, it's good to lower expectations, right? Because then it's easier to hit the $0 mark, because people aren't expecting much.
That's true.
So, well... I'm sure you'll be.
That'll be my motto: lowering expectations since 2000 and whatever it is, 16 or something.
Yeah, we should have debut dates for everybody. So me and Barrett and Chris would be 2009, and then who joined next? Probably Nicholas. That had to be pretty close to what, you know, 2011 or something. Then I think Craig, and then. I don't know. Then everything kind of fell into place, so now we have the all-star lineup that we have.
Yes. But Jeremiah is the juniorist. Don't forget.
Correct. Yeah.
Because I was here when Jeremiah came aboard.
We should be...
I think I showed him to his stateroom, as a matter of fact, initially, when he came aboard.
That could be. I think we should probably harass him a little bit more, right, about being the least seniority.
You mean like hazing?
Yeah, hazing.
I think we missed our window for hazing. Don't you have
to
do that?
Yeah, could be. That's got to be earlier, I guess.
Year. Yeah. It's been around for a few years. You can't haze them anymore.
Yeah. Well,
accept them. And in fact, we don't just accept him, we embrace it.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. I think that we we started our pre-production with the idea this would be a really short one. With two bands, and now we already have three. But we'll zip through them.
I have to muddy the waters.
We'll zip through them efficiently, and I think it'll be fine. And so I don't have any live reports. In fact, as we're doing this, I only recorded the last episode with Craig 3 days ago. So you can excuse me for not having any live reports. I know that Barrett and Chris were out scouting.
I have a note on Craig's live report, though.
What was that?
Well, I noticed, I don't know if I'm correct on this, but I believe I am. I noticed when he was talking about going to see this epic Coldplay, one night of this epic Coldplay run at Wembley Stadium, and he was talking about the arrangements and the seating and all that. Didn't he mention that his mom said something about how things looked from the seats?
Yeah.
So he buried the lead. He didn't tell us that he brought his mom with him.
I know. I think you're right. We should have inquired into that further. It would have been the second mom report, because Barrett went to that show with his mom.
Forget. Who did Barrett's mom go see? Is it Black Midi or something? No.
It was something at the... I know it was at the Collectivo Coffee in Milwaukee, which is actually a really cool venue. It's like behind a coffee shop. There's this great little garage-like music space, and it's really good. I saw Stephen Malkmus there, but I can't remember who Barrett saw with his mom. Okay, we need to revisit that, and we need to get Craig's supplemental report. I think that's a failure on my part of not being a hard-hitting journalist to question Craig about that.
Could be a new special feature. The mom, there's the live reports, and then there's the mom report.
Right. That's right. All right. Well, okay. So I'm guessing you don't have any live reports from your picturesque mountain location.
No, I don't. I don't actually have any live reports, but I will not say that I have not heard or will not hear any live music, because in and around the town there is live music at one bar or another almost every night. Well, certainly every weekend night. And I did catch a, but it's local. It's sort of local jam band, local blues band, local country band kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've only once in the times that I've been here heard a band that was sort of within the wheelhouse of the podcast. It was a band from Denver that was down here and did a quick show in the back of a store. But I did hear a band the other night that was doing your sort of John Prine, Townes Van Zandt, Willie Nelson kind of material, and they were actually really great. The setup was mandolin, electric guitar, acoustic guitar, some kind of weird instrument you would probably recognize, but it was like a stand-up electric bass.
Mm-hmm.
And a bass drum that the lead singer would work with his foot sometimes. So that was an interesting setup I haven't seen before. Anyway, they were doing well. They were playing what they referred to as Midwest folk.
Hmm. So that John sounds
Prine
pretty good.
Would be the epitome of Midwest folk, wouldn't it?
I Chicago. Think so. But I just don't know. That's another. There's a big big void in my music knowledge for sure, because you know. You mentioned John Prine, and it's like something I should know. It's such a familiar name, but I wouldn't be able to recognize his music. So, yeah, failure of music journalism there, I guess. But cool,
it's the
that's good.
Americana end of things. It's what they call it now, Americana.
Right. Yeah, I guess so. Well, do we kill enough time that we can start talking about the bands now?
Yes.
I don't think we have to report on any deaths.
What's on second?
Well, I think we have to start with they're becoming podcast favorites. Kiwi Jr.
I saw them in Austin, and yet in a sense I did not see them, because they have two guitarists and one of them was not present. I believe did he break his arm or something? Anyway, they played without one of their key people, but they were great anyway.
I saw them too, a different show than you saw. And yeah, the story was that the one guy didn't make it across the border for whatever reason. I thought it was a border crossing issue, but I don't know, maybe he broke his arm, who knows. But they're a 4-piece band that played as a 3-piece. They're just like, what the hell? We're here, we're going to do it. And they pulled it off pretty well, I thought. The show I saw was one of those like 1 o'clock in the morning shows, and I felt bad because it was at this pretty big venue. And it wasn't very full. You know, there just weren't all that many people there. So I felt kind of bad for them. But they sounded great.
Well, when I saw them, it was in the backyard of Lucille's restaurant on, Rainy Street, which is probably the greatest place to see a band because it's completely intimate.
There's all those Rainy Street venues that I've never been to. It seems like maybe some year I should at least spend a half a day there or something and see some bands. Because it has a whole different character than most of the other venues. You know, they look like old houses and they're real kind of...
It's like you're in somebody's backyard.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Well...
So this is their third album.
Right.
But it's their third album in only, 2 years? I mean, when was the first one?
Well, but you put me on the spot now to be knowledgeable.
No, the last one was 2020. Let's see.
Yeah, so maybe 2018 or 2019 would have been the first one. But I think we've probably talked about all both of the previous two.
I believe so, yes.
So while you're checking that, the new album is called Chopper, and it definitely has a very full sound to it. A little more keyboards than the previous albums, and I think there's some sort of really interesting songwriting on this too.
Amazing songwriting. No, they are more prolific than we even suspected. First album 2020, second album 2021, third album 2022.
Wow, there you go. One per year.
Impressive. One per year.
I think they worked with one of those. Did they work with one of those famous producers or engineers? I'm gonna have to look that up now.
They worked on this. They worked on the last one with somebody famous who I don't remember. They worked on this one with Dan Beckner, who is a Wolf Parade guy.
Oh right. Yep.
With a lot of bands.
Yep.
And yes, that's the answer to that.
And they're Canadian, and they have some Canadian buddies too, like probably Anurag. But they're Toronto based.
They are a Toronto band, yes.
And
they are so Toronto that I had to look up some of the references in their lyrics because I didn't. There was a reference to something that turned out to be a restaurant in Toronto, but yeah. I didn't know what they were talking about.
Yeah.
They're very local focused in some of their lyrics. Let's just say that.
Right, Toronto references. All right, let's play a track. I'll start with, there are a lot you could choose here, but easy one to choose, number 4, Night Vision.
Yeah.
Kiwi Jr. We got a sound in there. Sounded like you were getting attacked by a large bird or something.
Uh-oh.
It looks like you're okay, though.
No large birds attacked me. I won't say no large birds were around, but just never know.
Sounded kind of threatening.
Uh-oh.
Well, anyway, yeah, that's Kiwi Jr. The new album is called Chopper.
I'm in a quandary to whether to choose track 1, which is really strong.
Yeah.
Track 2, which is also strong, and has one of the more amusing lyrics.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of movie-based references in this on this record, including track number two, which is called Parasite 2. That would be the sequel that doesn't exist. Well, now it does, I guess.
Only in the lyrics.
I don't know. Which do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. You can't go wrong with either of those.
No.
So.
No.
Got to make the call.
All right. I'll go with number one.
It is a super catchy track. And I was thinking the same thing. It's just like it has some great twists to it. It's got a little sophistication kind of about it, which I think is great. Yeah. Really fun. Unspeakable Things. Kiwi Jr.
When you come out that strong on the first track, that's, you know, you're in for a good record.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking of how would you describe that? It's just a good song. It's just a good pop song, right? There's no, like, easy genre to put it in. I guess it's indie rock.
Yeah, it's not jangly enough to be Django, and it's not power poppy enough to be power pop. It's just indie rock.
Yep. Some super catchy hooks, I would say. Yeah. All right. Well, we featured the early part of the album, so I think I gotta cut to a little later to fairly represent the different parts of the album. So there's another catchy one. This might have been one of the promoted tracks too, but it's very good. Number seven, The Sound of Music.
Little
Another catchy one.
Yes. And another one with movie references. When someone puts in a line about "So long, Julie Andrews," it immediately makes me run to Google to see if she's still alive, because it sure sounds like she's not from the song. But in fact, she's 86, and as far as I know, in good health. So,
wow.
There's also a reference in there to Tony Walton, who I had to look up and discover that Tony Walton was Julie Andrews' first husband, not even her most recent husband.
So
we're digging deep in those lyrics. So I'm not sure where we're going, but we're definitely digging deep.
So here's the next question then, obviously. Is Julie Andrews Canadian?
I believe they
love the Canadian British references. Okay, I got to look it up now.
I think it's just that there are a lot of movie references in here. There's a song, a great song on here called, what is it called? The extra watches the film.
The extra sees the film. Yeah.
Yes. And as we said, a Parasite reference, a Julie Andrews reference, all kinds of movie things going on. I read a review of this record that compared the lyrics, and all, not just the lyrics, but I guess really the whole approach of the lead singer to Stephen Malkmus. And I think there's something to that, but they're very different.
A lot poppier generally, I guess, than Malkmus. But I can kind of see that comparison. Yeah. All right. I think this is a band that should be still on the rise. And hopefully. There was some review I read that it was just one bad review. And I was thinking, come on, people. This is a really, really good band. So I'm going to bat for them right now. Kiwi Jr., the album is Chopper.
I mentioned it, yes. I say this too often, but I got to say it. 7.6 from Pitchfork. Well-deserved. Maybe should have been higher.
Yeah, at least Pitchfork got one reasonably. Yeah, I'd make it maybe just a little higher. I really like it a lot. Maybe I'd have it a lot higher. So, I don't know, we're going to see at year's end how it stacks up. But
up in the eights.
Yeah, highly recommended, Kiwi Jr. All right, on to the next band. Well, I don't know, you've been talking about Joyce Manor now for a while, so I suppose let's do that one next.
Yes, I think I tried to elbow them into the last podcast that I did, and we just had too many bands. But
yeah,
as I circle back around, I look at this record and I say, my God. How could we not cover this? Is it only their fourth album, or is it the fifth?
I don't know. They don't have a whole lot.
No, I talked about the last one.
What I love about this, the best thing about this album, I don't want to say that could be an insult actually, but a fun thing about it is that it's 9 songs and 17 minutes. I mean, I guess that could be an insult because you could say, well, it's short. I don't like it, so I'm glad it's short. But I kind of just love how it just rocks right along from one track to the other. Most of them are in the 1 minute 45 second range.
Yeah, this is number 5. I guess the last one that I talked about actually maybe was not the most recent, which is 2018. It was Cody in 2016, which is a great record. But I don't think that they have produced a bad album yet. And I don't expect them to anytime soon.
And did I read wrong? For some reason, I was thinking this was one of those bands that said, this is our last album, and we're done. Do I have them mixed up with somebody?
I hope so, because I have not heard that. No, actually, they're on tour right now. And I think that they're doing just fine. So I don't. You may be thinking of someone else.
I was checking their tour dates, actually. And I saw that they had a gig in Madison, then I realized it was Madison, Tennessee. So they are not coming here.
Glad you didn't get tickets to that one.
Yeah, yep, that would be a bad mistake.
Bad mistake or a long drive.
Right. And why did I think they were from New Jersey, but they're from Long Beach, California? So I'm just totally confused. Like, I'm mixing them up with some, I don't know. Am I mixing them up with, who's that band that super anthemic band that doesn't sound anything like Joyce Manor from New Jersey. That band that gets compared to Springsteen, you know, they do these really long albums. Who is that? I don't know. I'm just all confused.
Is that the Menzingers you're thinking of?
No. I can't think of the name. Okay, this is my excuse. Yesterday morning, I got rear-ended on my way to work. I just got literally bashed from behind. My head got slammed against the seat of the car. And I'm fine, but I went into work, and a coworker of mine, he waited till later to tell me, and he said, yeah, you kind of seem like you weren't really totally with it. So I'm gonna attribute getting banged on the head to any errors I make this evening. I think I'm pretty much fully recovered, but yeah.
We may need to put an asterisk on this podcast.
Yeah. And my car isn't very happy, I'll tell you that much.
Slightly impaired functioning due to recent injury.
You know, I was thinking, you know, there's no way that the car that rear-ended me was going more than 10 miles per hour. It might have even been, it probably was between 5 and 10, and it felt like a very serious jolt. And I'm thinking, wow, I feel really bad for people who are in a real car accident. You know, it's like, oh my God. Oh, okay. So that's my excuse for not being sharp. Maybe I'll come up with the name of that band before the podcast is done. But in the meantime, Joyce Manor has an album. It's called 40 Ounces to Fresno. And so I guess the Fresno, you know, from Long Beach makes a lot more sense than if they were going all the way across the country. So what should we start with?
Well, I actually like track number one. When I first heard it, didn't really hit me. There were other things on the record that I liked, but I kept going back to it, and now I think it's one of my favorite songs of theirs that they've ever done. It's just like everything else on this album. It's very simple. It's not, there's nothing, we're not talking Black Country New Road here, you know? It's straight ahead. Everything is very straight ahead, but it's just a great song, and it's called Souvenir.
I think I figured out the attacking bird sound. I think we're getting feedback from like the sound coming out of your computer or something. So anyway, if you hear that weird sound, I don't know if I'll have time to edit everything out. So there you go. It adds a little character, though. All right. I have a little more to say about that song. So
yes.
I put this album on. You gave me the assignment. and I saw the title of the first track was Souvenir, and I put it on and I said, hey, it's Souvenir. I know that song. Did you know that's a cover of an OMD song?
No.
And in fact, it's like it's a great OMD song. Back from the old days, like probably around like 1984 or something. So I think this will be fun. Let's play some of the original because it's great. Well, you get the idea there. So that's pretty cool because it's a, you know, it's an adaptation, but in a completely different style.
Yeah, yeah. The original sounds very New Order-y, synthy.
Yep. And then Joyce Manor does the power pop version.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, pretty cool. But that's a credit to them too. It fit in with their album without feeling like an outlier.
No, not at all. Pretty cool. I totally thought it was their song.
All right, I'll make a pick, and I could be predictable and pick number two, which is a really good track. But I don't know. You can't just go 1-2. So let's bump up to number three. I think it's a really good one, too, called Reason to Believe.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm honest about my confusion, fine. I don't even know where to start. When I really think it might be true love, but me, I will always fall apart. Could it be somewhere in between? Take off and arrive on a spaceship in a dream. And an unfamiliar voice, robot that can scream. Undiscovered ocean, reason to believe. When I try to see the world through your eyes, could it even really look like that?
That was not the whole song, because there are four more seconds of fade out that I didn't play.
Right.
A minute 26, that's like Pollard's style, right? You play the essentials, and then you're done. You walk out. It'd be really easy to milk that one up to 3.5, if they wanted to.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's a fun thing all about right. The album.
Yes. They're in and out quickly. But they leave a good impression. I think I'm going to have to go with number 8, Did You Ever Know? And, you know, this is another example of how they're not complex, they're not deep. It's, you know, the sentiments in the song are something that you've heard a million times. But they pull it off, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Looking for something to
That one was a bit longer, a minute 29. Yeah. Catchy track, once again.
They're very consistent. I don't think, as I said, I don't think they've had a bad record, and this is number five.
This is probably the second one that I've listened to after the last one that you recommended. And I definitely liked them. I just haven't gotten around to listening to all the rest of it. So I will trust you that the discography is consistent. And obviously it's, you listen to this and you think, you know, easy, fun live band to like, probably. Have you ever seen them live?
I have not. I have not. And what I've seen in the videos of their live shows is the crowd is, let's just say the crowd is so active that I'm not sure it's safe for me to be exposed. I've seen videos with a lot of bottles being thrown and objects flying through the air, and I don't know. It seems like it gets a little wild.
You can imagine. You
maybe,
can imagine.
Maybe that's just a phase they went through at some point, but I've definitely seen that.
You can imagine a mosh pit going, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I just thought of a comparison. Cloud Nothings, right? Because kind of fast power poppy thing where, like, I've seen Cloud Nothings probably like three times. It's not every song that there's a mosh pit, but, you know, when they get to these super energetic songs, the crowd just starts going totally nuts. I can imagine the same thing with Joyce Manor.
Yep, I think that's the same. But I would like to hear them live. I think they're pretty good. It would be a quick EP.
It would, yeah. Well, or they could do a Pollard and play like 35 songs, averaging a minute and a half.
Played, yeah, every song that they've recorded so far. I would get them for a couple hours.
Yep. All right, Joyce Manor, 40 ounces to Fresno. Presumably referring to a 40-ounce bottle of liquor, which I maybe drank one of those when I was like 20 years old and regretted it later. So not in my actual adult life would I ever drink one of those. All right. On to band number three, after declaring that we're already at $0.
Oh, definitely.
So this is a band I discovered on, and I'm pretty sure that it was on the Paste magazine compilation of bands or albums that you might have missed, you know, good albums from the first half of 2022. And I sold you on this just because they're from Amsterdam. Right? Was that it? That was the tipping point, right?
Yeah, well, I listened to the first track and it was interesting. But I do feel that we should be, doing our due diligence and trying to cover as many bands from the Netherlands as we can. And as far as I know, Pip Blom is the only other one that we've hit.
Yeah, it's been a little sparse.
I did a little Googling, and the only band I could find that I'd ever heard of earlier from the Netherlands was Miracle Fortress.
I think we mentioned
back here also, but that's going way back.
Okay, I'm gonna see if I can come up with. Yes, I just did it. I just came up with another one.
Oh,
back in the '90s, there was a band I loved called Betty Servert. Did you ever listen to them?
Oh yeah,
they were from Amsterdam also. They had a run of some really good albums. See, now that could have been a bonus song of the week if I didn't already have my bonus song of the week picked out. Man, that would have been obvious. Would have been so easy. Or I could have saved the OMD song for the bonus song of the week. See, now we have so many possibilities. Everybody stick around for the bonus song of the week. It's going to be worthwhile for sure. All right, so this band that we're going to talk about is called A Fungus. And the album is called It Already Does That. And when I first listened to it, I thought, this is kind of oddball Black MIDI music, but a little more poppy. But then I found some other influences, and then I thought maybe, I don't know if it's really like Black MIDI. Then I felt really guilty that I haven't even listened to the latest Black MIDI album, so I gave myself that assignment. So I now, before the next podcast, I will have listened to the the new Black Midi album, which I have not yet given a chance. So, but back to this band.
Well, I respect your choice to make that assignment for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I will not be assigning myself that task. I think I'd rather, in fact, re-listen to the that great record from last week, the Gordon McIntyre. Is it?
Oh yeah, McIntyre? Gordon McIntyre. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Which I haven't really finished listening to. What a great find that was.
There is
fabulous
a
record,
and there's a big gap between Gordon McIntyre and Black Midi. You know, it's like, what do you feel like listening to? You know. But I feel like I'm going to just, especially when I'm traveling this week, so I'm going to have the time. I'm just going to devote myself. I'm going to make sure that I thoroughly listen to that whole new Black Midi album. And maybe I'll come out with, be like, Chris, it's a 2 out of 10, but maybe it'll be really good. I don't know yet, so we'll find out. All right, this is A Fungus. The album is called It Already Does That, and I'm going to do that thing. Yeah. I'm going to do that thing Craig told me to do last week, which is... start a track in the middle.
I'm taking a quick break while this is playing, so I'll be right back.
Okay. We're going to play track 3, Slip and Slide. I'm going to start it at about 3 minutes. It has a great rocking part, and then kind of a quieter vocal part, and then it rocks again. So we're going to start with the vocal part around 3 minutes.
Slip and slide. It's my ride to be just fine. I'm alright, it's true that I can be sad too.
That's A Fungus from Amsterdam.
Their first album, we didn't mention.
Yep, the first I've heard of them. The first I ever heard of them was about a week ago when I read about them. Thank you, Paste Magazine.
So, is it accurate for me to say that the one thing that is consistent with them is that each song starts in one direction and then veers off in another one, and then maybe even in a third sometimes? Because that one certainly did.
Yeah, it seems to do that. Yeah.
In fact, they actually have a song called Is This the Right Structure? Which
right.
Sounds like a description of their songs.
Right.
I am going to pick number 3. But the thing about number 3 is it starts as this really great instrumental. It goes on for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes as an instrumental, and you think this is what this song is, and then it changes to something completely different.
I stole your pick. That's the one I just played.
Oh, that was the one. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-oh. You got to go to Plan B now.
Uh-oh. Sorry. I was taking a break.
Yeah, sorry.
So I missed that. Wow, is this the right structure? I don't know. Which one am I going to pick? I could pick number one, which I really like. But that may not illustrate what we're talking about here. So I might have to pick number six, help.
It's a fungus.
Okay, despite my stupid error, I think that song also illustrated what we were saying, which is that no song of theirs stays the same throughout.
Right, and maybe that's where it gets me thinking Black Midi, because it's like you're a minute in and you don't have any idea what's going to happen next. So,
exactly.
But cool band. I really like them. So well,
you were saying that you detected some influences. What did you detect?
Well, I'm going to go back to the track you've mentioned now a couple times. Is this the right structure? And here, we're going to have a theme to the podcast now: Malkmus references, because this has kind of a Pavement sound to it to me. So let's see if I completely am off base on that or not. Here we go. Number seven. Is this the right structure?
Right.
Yeah.
That's a fungus. What do you think? Was I on base or off base with my reference
Absolutely.
There?
Absolutely. Especially that guitar.
Yeah, I think so. The overall vibe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Fun band. People check it out.
Absolutely.
So on your video now, the sun's going down, and it looks like you should have a fire pit around you now. I don't know if you have one of those fire pit things. Seems like it would be appropriate.
There is actually one back there, but there's no fire in it.
Yeah, could use a fire. How's the climate over there? Is it reasonable, or is it an incinerator, like in Craig's studio last week?
No, it's cool. It's cool up in the mountains.
Oh, that's great.
It's about 55 at night.
Oh, nice, nice.
Good sleeping weather.
All right, cool. All right, so that's our main.
So we're finished, lineup. Right? So we don't have anything else to do, right?
No, I don't think there's anything else. I think it's probably time to sign off. Okay. Unless, of course, there were to be this.
It's the bonus song of the week. It's the bonus song of the week.
We did not decide in pre-production who was going to go first for the bonus song of the week. So depending on how enthusiastic you are, I can go first or you can.
Oh, I think you should go first.
All right.
It'll give me time to figure out what I'm doing.
Good idea. Let's talk about legendary band The Cure. And, you know,
wow.
I think we talk about this a lot. That I think we talk about the fact that you have kind of a formative year period between, I don't know what ages, 17 and 23 or something, where you're just like, you're just soaking in the music like crazy, you know? And that kind of determines like what your favorite bands of all time are. So, you know, The Cure was like in that range for me. So they're clearly, you know, a top 10 band probably of all time for me. And I was thinking about how they went from kind of pop punk or post-punk, I guess, to super gloom. And then they kind of transitioned into kind of oddball, weird stuff. And then they had some super hits with the super poppy stuff, like, you know, Friday I'm in Love and Just Like Heaven, you know. So, you know, Robert Smith has a lot of, looking back, really popular songs in kind of different styles. And I think the song that kind of started the poppy phase was a song called In Between Days, which I always really thought was great. It's the first track on the album, The Head on the Door, which I probably bought right when it came out I didn't look it up. I think 1987. But no, could be 84, in that 84 to 87 range. Barrett would know the exact year because he always knows that stuff. But anyway, after that that whole lead up, I'm not going to play The Cure. I'm going to play a cover of the song In Between Days by Ducks Limited that they just put out about a week ago, and it's great. So if you know the song and you know Ducks Limited, it's cool. Here we go. Without you. Always fun when a band you really like plays an old favorite song you really like. So there you go. Ducks Limited. That's actually it's featuring Jane Incorporated, or Jane Inc., who's another Canadian artist. So that's cool.
You've now proven just how cool you are, because if you had played the original, that would just demonstrate that you're an old fogey who remembers bands from the 1980s.
Right.
But since you play the cover by a band that's still on its like first album, it just shows that you're cool.
Yeah, thank you. Indie rock cred. I'm trying to build that.
Definitely add it to the cred.
All right.
I'm coming up with something on a spur of the moment here for my bonus. Oh, I just wanted to say that is my second favorite Cure song after Pictures of You, which is my favorite. But that would be my second choice.
I was going to try to, when I was doing the like tracking of the Cure, discography or whatever, they went from the kind of poppy to then kind of bizarre and then gloom and doom, and they got a little more poppy, and they kind of put it all together, didn't they, with a Disintegration album, which I think is 1990, which has like kind of everything. It's got the gloom and it's got the pop, and that's like really kind of their crowning achievement, I think, even though they have a lot of great stuff. So yeah, okay, there you go. I had to say that. I had to add that.
Yes. So for my bonus here, I just realized what I could do, which is I discovered the other day that two things about our one of our favorite bands, Second Grade. One is they have their next album coming out very soon. I think it's September, which is very exciting to me. And the second is that I discovered that Peter Finn, who is the heart and soul of Second Grade, has been in another band for years and years that I didn't know about. And that band is called Friendship. And they have a very different sound from Second Grade. But I think they have a couple albums out, maybe three albums out. Also a Philly band, but as I say, a different sound. So if you could play from their recent album, very recent, I think it's just out, there's a song called Chomp Chomp. And it's on their album called Love the Stranger, which, just out on July 29th. And that is their, their third album.
All right, track 5, Chomp Chomp. Wow, that is such a contrast to Second Grade. You wouldn't think that's the same guy, would you?
Well, it's not the same singer. I think he does play guitar, though, with Friendship, and I think he's been an integral part of the band. So, yeah, it's definitely a different sound.
it reminded me that, like, that deadpan kind of vocal. I don't know if that's the right word, but it reminded me of a guy I really like, Owen Ashworth, who records as advanced bass now, and he used to be Casio Tone for the Painfully Alone.
Right.
So, yeah.
You remember that name.
A little bit of that. Really, really cool.
Yeah, he would, Friendship would be great on a bill with Gordon McIntyre. I think they would go well together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's so much good music out there, isn't there? I love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you can listen to that record and as you wait for the next iteration of Second Grade next month.
Yeah, they've got to keep on rocking Second Grade because, boy, there's a lot of talent there. It's got to get utilized. All right, well above $0. And let's see, what are we at for time here? Yeah, we blathered on for over an hour, but not that much over an hour. So it'll be reasonable. We gotta.
Well, after you cut out my mistakes, it'll be less than an hour.
What we need to do is everything needs to go past Nicholas now for quality control. Have we gone on too long? This is the question. I think we're going to be okay. So, all right. Yeah, I needed time to edit this one too. I think we'll be all right. And I'm kind of looking ahead to see what we've got coming up. It's going to be interesting. There's some really fun stuff coming out. So anyway, okay, it'll be great.
Way too much.
I mean,
we're well over $0. We don't want to have to collect money from listeners.
Well, it's kind of like when a baseball team wins a game like 9-2, you know, and then they lose the next game 2-1. It's like you could have saved some of those runs. So yep. It's kind of like if we put out all the great bands in one podcast. You can't do that. You got to hold back on some, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
To maintain the consistency. All right.
Pace yourself.
Okay. Thanks, David. Now your background is really dark. Okay, you went inside though, so that's why. But it was getting really dark outside. So
much too dark.
The listeners don't get to see this. This is great. All right. Thanks, everybody. We will be back again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.